You are now joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one after show for all things Star Wars television. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me as always is
Mac Lacey. We made it, Alex. We made it through the intro. For this recording session. But yeah, Alex, this is the week of the premiere of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's coming out on Friday. We're getting the first two episodes. This is our final preparations episode. We're going to be hearing from you guys. We're going to be heavily focusing on our Hello There hotline. and we'll give you all the details about that later. But I'm pumped. I'm so excited. This is the first time for Obi-Wan that we're going to be hearing from the people.
Yeah, and this will give you a good kind of preview of what our voicemail hotline episodes are like in case you're a new listener. We have scene-by-scene breakdowns, which you will find on the feed on Friday. We will have episode one. We're going to break that scene by scene, go over everything, give our thoughts and theories along the way. Those are so much fun. And then on Saturday, you will have episode two, our scene-by-scene breakdown. Just give it a little bit of a break right in between there. And then after that, we've got our voicemail hotline episodes where we hear from you guys. You give your thoughts, your theories, your questions, your concerns, all sorts of things on the Hello There hotline you can call into. And this kind of gives you a good preview of what that is. But yeah, we are an after show for Star Wars television. We originally started as the Mandalorian Watch, where we did the exact same thing for both seasons of The Mandalorian. But when they announced that there was going to be so much Star Wars television, we decided to transition our name from The Mandalorian Watch to Children of the Watch. Now, the origin of that name comes from The Mandalorian. That is part of Din's covert group called The Children of the Watch. Yes, it sounds like a cult. So if you're listening to it and someone asks, what are you listening to? And you say Children of the Watch, you're like, oh my gosh, is that a cult? You can kind of say, maybe.
What's it to you?
Exactly. So we wanted to kind of honor who we were, but also have the availability to cover all things Star Wars television, and that includes Obi-Wan Kenobi. We also covered the Book of Boba Fett, and you can find all of our scene-by-scene breakdowns on the feed as well. But this is a lot of fun. This is a little bit different format than probably most Star Wars podcasts. We do it a little bit different over here. But I like the way that we do it, and I hope that you guys do too. It's going to be really fun. This is part of the fun for me in watching these new Star Wars television shows. It's just being able to really go through an episode with a fine-tooth comb, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, taking the time, making those connections. We really we love to welcome, all Star Wars fans, no matter if you've been a diehard from day one or if, this might be your first Star Wars property you're watching. We love that, we try to be a show for everybody. And our favorite thing is making some of those connections, that people haven't gotten the chance to make before. We'll be, digging through the details, pointing to all kinds of nerdy stuff that we know, from our years of fandom. It's going to be a great time. So just keep your eyes peeled on our feeds, breakdown episodes, hotline episodes. This is going to be the place to be for all things Obi-Wan Kenobi here pretty soon.
Absolutely. And then today's episode is sponsored by keepthewatch.com. Check out our Hello There t-shirt. And you can use the code Hello There in all capital letters for free shipping in the U.S. You can see it on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. You can see what it looks like. So if you're listening on the podcast, pop over to the YouTube and type in Children of the Watch, and you can watch this latest video and see what the t-shirt looks like. But it's a cool t-shirt. We got a great response on it already. So make sure you get that t-shirt for Obi-Wan, before the show ends. You can enjoy that. Again, that's code Hello There, all capital letters, for free shipping in the U.S.
Yeah.
Keepthewatch.com.
All right, cool. Well, I think we can get into the show now. What do you think?
I think so. Now, before we get in the show, I did want to address a few things. We got a contest, number one.
Yeah.
We got a contest coming up on our YouTube. You can watch our YouTube. We'll explain the rules on Friday, how that works. But basically, we'll be showing like an image on the YouTube. We're not going to address it during the show. You're just going to see the image. It's an Arabesque. You got to decode it every week. And then once you put it together, you can send us the message in to our Gmail, MandalorianWatch@gmail.com. And you will be entered into the contest to win a Hello There t-shirt and a mystery gift from the Obi Wednesdays that we'll be getting, all the Obi-Wan merch that they're going to be selling through StarWars.com stuff. So that will be fun as well. Yeah.
It's like a little scavenger hunt.
Yeah, it is so like a scavenger hunt. While you're listening to us
enjoying Obi-Wan Kenobi, you've got another. It's like a little side quest for watching.
Yeah. You don't have to partake, but it would be fun if you did.
And there's fabulous prizes at the end if you want to take that road.
Absolutely. And also, before we jump in, Mac, I want to take some time and get a little serious here in the sense of, we had originally planned to do this voicemail hotline live on the YouTube. We decided not to do that. We felt like it wasn't the right time considering the news that's happening today as of our recording. And the news has been really heavy today. It's been really heavy the week previous. It feels like it's been really heavy for a long time.
Yeah.
And one of the joys of doing this show, and in no way am I saying that we're important or I'm important or what we do is even really important in the grand scheme of things. But one of the things that I have loved about the Mandalorian Watch / Children of the Watch is the community that it's built.
Yeah.
The ability to find something that we all love, which is Star Wars, and talk about it, break it down, enjoy it with other people who are of like mind, who want to find things that they love and celebrate those things and find the joy in those things. That has been one of the biggest privileges of my life, is to do that.
Yeah.
And to provide a space and a place to listen and enjoy those sort of things with other people. And so, I don't know what to say in the face of so much dark news, except that we're here for you guys. We love you, and we love being able to do this and enjoy things with you guys.
Yeah. I guess like I would just urge everybody, just like find ways to foster community. You know, we like Alex is saying, we've had a really unique chance to do this through this show. We've all have that power, and you know, find ways that you can foster a community around you, and that, you know, we can just promote empathy and taking care of each other in the world. And I mean, that's really kind of what we, if we had to have a thesis statement for this podcast, that's honestly it. So we love y'all, and look out for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So without further ado, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun because we're listening to your voicemails. We want to hear what you guys think about Obi-Wan Kenobi, your thoughts, your theories. So let's do the first voicemail and then we'll break it down.
Hello there, Alex and Max. Guys who host my favorite Star Wars podcast and most user-friendly, I would say. Hey, I have a theory about Kenobi. I know there's been a lot of talk about a Jedi coming who's in trouble, and it kind of gets, you know, Obi-Wan has to help them, and that's what kind of brings the Inquisitors to Tatooine. I'm thinking more, I have heard some other theories that perhaps the Empire is just having a bit of a violent presence on Tatooine, and, you know, there's some skirmishes or some violence, and maybe Obi-Wan has to do something to protect Luke, or maybe his moral compass just gets the best of him and he is forced to get forcey. and then he goes off world because he knows, you know, the eyes of the Inquisitors have gotten on him. He's got to get out of town before they come and perhaps find Luke. And something else I would like to see, maybe it's not the right time because I know this is before the rebellion and after the fall, but, you know, we haven't had a good star fight in Star Wars in a while. Nothing really in live TV. I'm loving the TV shows, but I do think that, you know, we kind of could use a little reminder sometime soon of a big piece of Star Wars that we haven't seen in a while, and that's a big just galactic star fight. And, guys, thanks a lot for the show. Take it easy.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we're talking kind of, well, first of all, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for saying we were user-friendly. it makes me feel like Apple or something. We're the iPhone of Star Wars podcasts.
Speaking of which, you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Always be selling, folks. Always be selling. Or closing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not in sales. Yeah, okay. So the actual content of the voicemail. So we're kind of talking what's setting up the conflict between Obi-Wan and the Inquisitors. I think you and I have both kind of posited that we think maybe it's going to be an outside presence that comes to Tatooine.
Yeah.
Whether it be a Jedi survivor or something like that, kind of unrelated to Obi-Wan, that then Obi-Wan maybe has to get involved with or...
right.
And so this is a theory where it's kind of vice versa, right? So
right.
Obi-Wan kind of gets in trouble, makes a ruckus somehow on Tatooine, which very he's been known to cause a ruckus every once in a while. Like he
has been known to cause a ruckus.
So
yeah.
That would not be out of his character.
No.
And so then the Inquisitors come looking specifically for him. No, what you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be him by name, but just a Jedi on Tatooine. That's a it gets a little that there's a unique challenge in that with the show because Obi-Wan is unknown to the Empire. We assume kind of by
they think he's
New
dead,
Hope.
I think. Right? Like or, well,
it's
maybe not.
Because him and Vader are going to have a conflict in this show. So
for sure, by the end of the show, they would think that Obi-Wan is out of the game.
Right.
Right. But leading in, like during the show, there is a wanted missing poster in the latest trailer of Obi-Wan. So maybe they don't really know his whereabouts and they find out about something that happened on Tatooine. They hear about something, maybe some sort of force manifest thing happens and they come looking and they don't necessarily know that they're looking for Obi-Wan, but Obi-Wan knows that they're looking for them. And then he has to leave to draw them away from Luke. I could definitely see that happening. I don't know. I still get the sense, though, that it's a Jedi on Tatooine who goes hiding there because it is like a backwater planet. Who would go hiding on Tatooine? And then it turns out, coincidentally,
it's actually
Obi-Wan.
A pretty good hiding place.
Great hiding place. Another great hiding place is Jakku.
It is.
The reason I still think that it's like another Jedi is because from the trailers we do see Reva. It's Moses Ingram says Reva, not Reva, in a lot of the interviews. So Reva like ignites her lightsaber on Tatooine, and it looks like she's chasing someone that's not Obi-Wan.
Right.
I would assume that it would be another Jedi because you don't really have the Inquisitors involved unless it is like a force sensitive person.
That's their sole focus. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
Either, we'll see.
I think it could go potentially either way. I tend to lean towards Jedi Survivor as well, just because that also has been kind of featured heavily in some flagship titles lately. So like Jedi Fallen Order is one of the biggest video game releases we've had lately.
Right.
Focuses on that. We revisited Order 66 in the 7th season of Clone Wars, so that's still kind of fresh on the mind. Yeah, so that's kind of in the Star Wars zeitgeist right now. So I tend, and we've kind of been watching them build upon things they've done elsewhere, you know, in the Disney Plus shows. So
even in the Book of Boba Fett, we saw Order 66 again, you know, with
that's
Grogu.
True, with Grogu, yeah.
So.
So, I mean, that's very in the air right now.
What do you think about maybe having a space battle again with Star Wars television? I would love it.
This is maybe not the most likely show to have one.
I
think we are assured a hating flying joke of some kind, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think? Obi-Wan will be on a ship at some point and he'll say, "I hate flying," or something like that, you know?
Something along those lines. But like a space battle, I don't know about that, because I'm thinking more budget-wise. That's probably hard to do with a TV show budget.
Yeah. Andor, I think we might see something like that. I think that would be the show that's prime for. It'd still be small scale just from the nature of what Cassian's doing at that moment.
Yeah.
But there could be some little dogfights or something in that show, I think.
Yeah. I think so. But then also, like, further down the line, this is just my hopes and dreams. Ever since they announced the Rogue Squadron movie, I've always thought that would make for a much better television show.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a legit television show I want more Star Wars movies, but I think the Rogue Squadron idea works better with the television show. That would be really, really cool. And maybe we'll get there one day, but man, that would be a big budget. That would be a huge budget, because there's a lot going on there. So
if these shows keep printing money the way they've been doing it, though,
maybe,
I mean,
yeah, maybe
the
it
Mandalorian
won't
is the reason Disney has a streaming service, I think. It's at least a big part of it.
That's a reason we have the podcast. Yeah. It's very true. Everything to the Mandalorian. Great call, though. Thank you so much for your call. Make sure you call again. That's how you do it. That's how you do a voicemail. Let's do the next one.
Hey, guys. It's Hannah from Texas. Love the show and can't wait for Obi-Wan this Friday. So here we go. Do you guys think there's a chance Luke is manifesting Force powers? There was an extended clip that suggested that might be happening. If that's the case, is Luke aware of it, or is it only Owen and Beru noticing these things? Again, love the show. Thanks.
Great call, Hannah from Texas. Straight to the point.
Love it. In and out. That's
how you do it right there. So there was an extended clip that came out a few days ago, and then they officially released it today. It's that conversation between Owen and Obi-Wan. This is not spoilers really at all. It's pretty much what we saw in the trailer. It's just a few extra lines. And Obi-Wan says something along the lines of, he's showing his powers or something like that, isn't he? And then Owen tells Obi-Wan to leave them alone.
Yeah.
So like, there's a suggestion there that maybe something's happening with Luke. Maybe he's doing some things with the Force. And she's asking, is he even aware of that? Or is it just Owen and Beru who are noticing like weird things happening around Luke?
Yeah.
That is a great question. And
yeah,
I mean, what do you think?
To me, Anakin was exhibiting some of those things. Like, Qui-Gon immediately was like, oh, he has unnatural abilities, right? Like, pod racing, he's the only human that can do it, right?
Yes.
Because
right.
He has Force powers. Anakin is, these powers are manifesting in different ways. I don't think he's necessarily using like telekinesis or anything like that with the Force yet. But he's not aware of it. Anakin had no idea. Right.
Right.
So if that's any kind of indicator, I think the same thing could maybe be true for Luke. I love the conflict that's setting up though, between Obi-Wan and Owen, because they both want to do opposite things for the same reason.
Yes.
Obi-Wan wants to train Luke for his protection.
Right.
And then Owen doesn't want Luke to be trained for his protection, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the perfect setup right there.
And it's one of those scenarios, too, where I can see people maybe getting upset if Luke is doing things with the Force at such a young age, because it seems like from A New Hope, he has no idea what it is. He has no idea what a lightsaber is, those type of things.
Right.
Here's kind of my response to that. It's twofold. Number one, I think it could still, like, everything in A New Hope still works, even if, like, some things change perspective wise. Like, I think Luke knows there's something weird going on, because he at least knows old Ben Kenobi is a strange old wizard in the desert, right? Like, a wizard does weird things, right? They can do things. Wizards do things. But also, like, maybe Luke knows a little bit more than what we thought he knew as a child, or like growing up, and maybe he's heard things before or things about Jedi before. I don't know.
Things can happen when you're a kid and yes. they be like real and everything, and then they feel completely differently when you're an adult, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So like
for
by sure. the time Luke's looking to, you know, get into New Hope, things he could have experienced as a child, he's kind of forgotten about by that point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, secondly, I think going into the show, we've got to be okay with, like, overall, the canon might change like slightly, in the sense of, like, what we thought was true might not be true anymore going out of this show. And that's going to upset some people. There's going to be people who are complaining about that, who are complaining about other things about the show. And what I want to say to our listeners is, like what you like, and celebrate what you like. Like, if there is something, if there's some element in the show that maybe you don't care for, that's okay. That's going to happen with every show. That happened with me with the Book of Boba Fett. That happened with other things. But find what you do like and enjoy those things, celebrate those things. And then don't let those people who will try to tell, because this is going to happen, who try to tell you this is awful, don't enjoy this, those type of people, those are a very vocal minority. Yeah. Don't let them bother. And I'm speaking to myself as much as anything, because I want everyone to enjoy the show and have a good time. But that's just not going to happen. There's going to be some haters out there, and just you enjoy it. And, you know, if other people don't, that's okay. That, I mean, it is what it is. But I think with stuff like with Luke, especially, like, there's going to be upset people.
He's always kind of a touchy subject when it comes to adding or subtracting from his overall mythos, you know.
Yeah.
As we've seen, but I have high hopes that we're going to completely avoid all that this go around.
That would be great. That'd be great. I want everyone to enjoy this show, and there'd be no controversy.
With a straight face, though.
Yeah. All right. Great call, Hannah. That was awesome.
Thanks. All right.
That's how you do it. Let's do the next one.
Hello, my friends. It's Hondo Onaka. I'm just kidding. It's Mandalorian Mark coming from you from good old Massachusetts. I just wanted to call and just say happy it's Children on the Watch season. Happy that we're finally back. I'm so excited to hear from you guys. So Kenobi, predictions. You know, all that good stuff. I'm going in completely free-minded. I just want a good show with, you know, new faces, new storylines with a bit of nostalgia. I'm just going in completely free. If I saw Hondo Onaka, I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, he was familiar face with Kenobi. They had a little bit of a history. And, you know, Kenobi's trying to get to places secretly. Who better than Hondo Onaka? For the right price, of course. I'm excited, I think, for the most part about the whole show in general, but for Reva in particular. I have a feeling that Moses Ingram is going to absolutely kill it. We all know Hayden's going to. We all know Ewan's going to. And, you know, the rest of the staff is, you know, great, front and behind the camera. But I think I'm most excited for her and her performance and her character. If it's action-packed, cool. If it's not, that's just as fine. I have a feeling it's going to be more leaning towards nostalgia, and I'm all right with that, so I'm excited. But like I said, I'm going to go in completely, you know, free. That being said, you know, we have so much to look forward to when it comes to Star Wars. Acolyte, Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett, continuation maybe, Bad Batch, I can't wait for season 2, Mandalorian season 3, oh my lord. I'm still hurt from Sundari Mandalore, but whatever, and Dave and John I trust. I'm just so excited for the state of Star Wars. I'm so excited for you guys. You guys have been killing it. I can't wait to listen to more of you and other people's voicemails. Everyone on the show does such a great job. You have some great fans. So I'm excited Children on the Watch season coming up. So I hope you guys are doing well and staying safe. So until the next time, may the Force be with you and for Mandalore. Keep the watch.
Mark.
I think the first Mandalorian Mark voicemail actually is the bell that ushers in Children of the Watch season. I think that's probably what it is.
I do love that he calls it Children of the Watch season. He does that all the time, and I love it. It makes me happy. It makes my heart happy. Mark, we love when you call in. Hondo Ohnaka, do you think Hondo Ohnaka could be in Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I actually think that he would. He's in a better position than a lot of people. I think a lot of this show is going to have to do with staying under the radar, being kind of clandestine. Who's a fantastic smuggler? Hondo. Now, Star Wars has a wealth of smugglers in the repertoire, but I think coming, especially Obi-Wan being kind of, especially Ewan's Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan is a lot to get out in one go. But Ewan's Obi-Wan, I think, is very much tied to that prequel era and the Clone Wars and stuff. And even though we've gotten Hondo later, you know, I think he's always going to be highly associated with the Clone Wars as well. So, I mean, the pairing would kind of make sense. He's in Galaxy's Edge as an animatronic. So I think, you know, the public at large, even if you haven't watched Clone Wars, if you've been to Galaxy's Edge, there's a chance you're familiar. I think he's actually a pretty good candidate.
He is a great candidate. And I do think it's a character that we're going to see in live action eventually.
Yeah.
They've invested so much into that character. And again, like Mac explained, if you're not familiar with who Hondo Ohnaka is, he's someone that was introduced in the Clone Wars. He's a Weequay, so he's the one that kind of looks like a raisin, those aliens that look like raisins, basically. Uh-huh. And he is at Galaxy's Edge. He's the one at the Millennium Falcon ride. He's in Star Wars Rebels. He's basically the Jack Sparrow of Star Wars. That's how I would describe him. Like, he's sometimes a villain, most times a hero. Like, he's got a soft heart.
Yeah.
He's very funny, a very funny type character. I think he would be more likely, though, to show up in the Mandalorian era.
Yeah.
That's kind of when I'm expecting him. Fun fact, the guy who voices him is the same voice actor for Winnie the Pooh.
Which I think one of the Winnie the Pooh voice actors also did Optimus Prime.
Oh, really?
But I can't
remember. That's amazing.
There's some crossover there. I always get that mixed up. But anyway.
So, okay, Mark also pointed out...
What I'm saying is Hondo is Optimus Prime.
Autobots.
We don't even know what that means.
Mark also pointed out that Reva, however her name's going to be pronounced in the show... It's going to be awesome. I 100% agree. I think she's going to be a great villain. I think what's really smart about introducing her character is that you got to have someone there that Obi-Wan can go up against a lot. And because you can't have Vader every time, right?
No.
Like, he can't be fighting Vader every episode, but he can be being pursued by Reva throughout the season, and maybe she's got her own agenda. Maybe she wants to do something. Maybe she wants to replace Darth Vader or something like that. It'd just be interesting to kind of see that interplay with how does she work with Darth Vader, but then also kind of act as a foil or antagonist to Obi-Wan. I get the sense that she's going to really fill that Asajj Ventress role, who was a character in the Clone Wars, who kind of had this interplay with Obi-Wan a lot. She was basically the apprentice to Count Dooku during the Clone Wars, and she kind of acted in that same role. They couldn't always fight General Grievous or Count Dooku. So Asajj Ventress was there. And I think she kind of fills that same archetype in this show. And I think she's going to be really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to see the ambitious kind of working she's got going. I'm also getting kind of the same feeling as like Krennic, that political operator within the Empire. I'm excited to see what that's like with this kind of, like, Krennic was ordering around stormtroopers and having to, you know, navigate very normal military stuff, I feel like.
Right.
Like, let's see that when the stakes are as high as Vader and Obi-Wan, you know?
Yes, definitely exciting. I can't wait. Mark, thank you so much for your phone call.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to keep calling in. We love you. You've been with us since season one of The Mandalorian. Thanks again. Let's do the next voicemail.
Hello there, Alex and Mac. This is Jeff Joden from the Discord. We are about a week and 6 hours away from the Kenobi premiere at 2 a.m. on Disney. I just had a irresponsible speculation that I wanted to send out there. I think it's responsible to speculate that Qui-Gon Jinn will appear in the series. My irresponsible speculation is that Qui-Gon's Force ghost will actually save Kenobi in the duel with Darth Vader, that somehow he will distract Vader or something along those lines to allow Kenobi to escape, or show that Kenobi dies so that Vader thinks he's dead, something like that. So that is my irresponsible speculation. And now my incredibly irresponsible speculation is that we won't see Force Ghost Qui-Gon, but that we will see Force Ghost Mace Windu. Mace Sisto confirmed. Anyway, looking forward to the podcast and keep the watch.
He really just said Mace Sisto confirmed, which is a Marvel crossover there. yeah, I'm going to go probably not Mace Windu will show up in this show. Unless it's a flashback, he might show up in a flashback.
Yeah.
Now, I will say I am 100% convinced they're going to find a way to get Samuel L. Jackson back, and I think he's going to be in the Mandalorian verse as a clone of himself.
Okay, all right.
Because his hand was cut off.
Oh, that's true. That's true. There is a lot of wild speculation going on right now.
But... To the Qui-Gon thing.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think he's going to be in the show? Do you think that he will show up? And I kind of like his scenario that he presented there with the maybe Qui-Gon does something to make it seem like Obi-Wan dies or helps him get away or something.
Yeah, I am very much of the mind that Qui-Gon is for sure in Obi-Wan. Like I could be surprised, but I am very much... Where else are they going to tell that story other than here?
Right. Like, yeah, this is the opportunity.
It just makes sense. Yeah. So I think they're going to get Qui-Gon back. I'm surprised people haven't been just like keeping tabs on Liam Neeson for the last like 2 years. Just like somebody always looking his window.
Well, he's a man with a very particular set of skills.
It's
hard to keep track of him.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So. I guess that's true. Also, please don't do that to Liam Neeson. just legally thought I should add that.
Thank you for protecting the show.
Yeah. Just have our legal interests in mind. I think he's going to for sure be in it. So with him in the Vader fight, I've got a couple thoughts.
Okay.
My first thought, I'll go positive on it. Something that it would add. It would be a chance to kind of tie up the loop of Qui-Gon not really getting to like fulfill that promise to Anakin. It gets him back into that story and gets some chance for something to happen, you know, whether it's, and then also just like Obi-Wan's grieving with Qui-Gon and his failure with Anakin, having his master help him with that. And I think he's going to do that, just not in like a physical combat way. Okay. But if it was in a combat way, having him assist with that, there's a lot of loops that's closing on the Qui-Gon Obi-Wan story, Qui-Gon Anakin story. So I think there's some interesting things to do there. I do think that confrontation is this confrontation between two people who used to be brothers, and it's mm-hmm. it's them getting through their differences there. When Obi-Wan has that final fight with Vader in New Hope on the Death Star,
yes,
he goes into that with peace. So, yeah. Like, what gets him to that point, you know? And I think that's something he's going to have to discover for himself in that fight with Vader.
Interesting. Those are my thoughts. That makes sense. But as you were talking, like, something started to occur with me just talking about the connection that all three of those characters have. Like, Obi-Wan, Anakin are like brothers. Qui-Gon's like a father to both of them. Right. In a very real sense to Anakin, especially.
Oh, are you going where I
yeah.
think you're going?
So, like, what if Anakin saw Qui-Gon, like, in the fight? Or, like, Qui-Gon spoke to Darth Vader in the fight? Like, what would that be like? I do have questions on whether or not, like, someone so steeped in the dark side would even be able to recognize something like that. But what were you going to say?
Mortis. Hear me out.
Oh, gosh.
So yeah. We know that, like, Anakin is involved in all these huge cosmic things. We know Obi-Wan is kind of this just, like, absolute representative of the light side, kind of incorruptible. But with that, there's some things that come with, you know, following the Jedi dogma, things like that, that need tempering and need balance. Qui-Gon was always a little bit off the beaten path for a Jedi.
Yes.
And I think he could take that balance spot. So you have Qui-Gon as the father.
Yes.
Overseeing this conflict between these two brothers, these other two extensions in that whole Mortis paradigm. Quick crash course.
Yes.
Mortis is just like a cosmic force thing that sets up this Trinity. It could be real, could be all something that happened in the characters' minds. I think that, but there's a father that represents balance between the brother who represents the dark side and the son and the daughter represents the light.
It's the closest thing to deities that the Force has.
Yes. And I really think they're more metaphysical than anything. I don't think that they're actual deities. I think they're just representing different aspects of the Force. They're just kind of the way in which those things are manifested. And so in that conflict, if you have Qui-Gon kind of like holding the balance between Vader and Obi-Wan,
that would be cool.
Sets up something cool there. So
that would be cool. And you can hear more about Mortis on our Obi 101 episode, The Secret History of Obi-Wan Kenobi. We dive into that because that is kind of an important arc in the Clone Wars that I think everybody should watch. I think it's a really cool arc. Whether you like it or not, I still think you should watch it. But yeah, that's a really interesting aspect, Mac, that I think is very possible that we could see play out in real time on the show in just about 3 or 4 weeks, probably. So we're almost there. Like, we're going to be halfway finished with the show after next week. How crazy is that?
Crazy. Yeah. It's going to fly by. So
soak it in.
Yeah, for sure. Let's soak in these next voicemails pretty quick. Let's do some lightning rounds here.
Let's do that.
Let's get into them.
Hey guys, this is James from Long Island, New York. Just want to say I really, really appreciate your podcast. I am a 46-year-old huge Star Wars fan. I was on my cousin's lap at 7 years old watching Return of the Jedi in the movie theater, probably scared out of my mind. But Star Wars has been a big part of my life. Loving your podcast. I've been listening to it since probably a little bit before Book of Boba started. I found you guys and huge fan, listen to all your stuff. For Obi-Wan, for someone who grew up with the originals, I don't think I'm that worried about it. Nothing really has disappointed me in Star Wars land, in the Star Wars, as you guys like to talk about. Each Star War for me has its differences, going to the prequels, to the Book of Boba Fett. Each in their own way, I find something that I love. And so I can't say I'm ever really that disappointed. I am looking forward to seeing this Obi-Wan show, but I think even more so seeing how the rest of all of these new TV series all sort of stream together. I am on the middle of season 3 of Rebels, which I am watching with my 7-year-old, and just love it. It took me a little bit after watching all the Clone Wars for the last few years on Disney Plus to get into this one because I loved the Clone Wars so much. But now I am just thoroughly loving it, and I sort of know the conclusion already, but really looking forward to how it all ties together with Osaka's show and Mandalorian and everything else. So, again, thanks so much.
That's how you do it right there. That's the that is the right kind of attitude to have with Star Wars.
If I could, like, I think we need to get that, like, engraved in brass, a brass relief.
Yeah.
As just, like, a general philosophy to keep in mind. Like, so I that was super cool. You've been a Star Wars fan for, you know, way since before I was born.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved getting to see the perspective you have on being around for all these different eras coming out and finding things that are different, but, you know, things that you can love about each one. I think that's just an amazing example for all of us to you know, follow when we're consuming these medias. Like, and then also he mentioned, you know, like he's really looking forward to Obi-Wan, but then there's so many other shows coming out too. So even if Obi-Wan disappoints you in some way, or it's not everything you wanted or whatever, there's so much Star Wars just right around the corner. So that was just amazing perspective to hear. I love it.
I think you said everything that I was gonna say. I agree 100%. Let's do the next voicemail. Great voicemail. Thank you
so much for your call.
And everyone watch Star Wars Rebels.
Hey guys, this is Willie from Louisiana. Been a big fan of the podcast. Been keeping a watch since Mando season 1. Super excited for Obi-Wan to start. Been waiting for that since Disney Plus started. Couple of things that I am very, very, very excited to see is the, is a possible Qui-Gon Jinn, Force Ghost, him and Obi-Wan training, talking together. I think that is a big need for this season. I know a lot of us Star Wars fans are super spoiled, but at the same time, you know, I've been waiting for that since since I was 16 years old. So, I feel like they have to show us what happened. There's a big hole that they can fill with this show. But in general, I'm excited. Even if I don't get that, I'm still super excited about the show. Can't wait to see Darth Vader in action again. Can't wait to see the new Inquisitors in action again. I'm kind of hoping that they tie the show into the Fallen Order video game series with some of those characters popping up on the show as well. I know it's kind of far-fetched, but, you know, it's an awesome video game, and I would like to see some of those characters in action. So hope I wasn't too late to put my little thoughts in. I always seem to be late on these. Patreon is awesome. I'm definitely getting a Hello There t-shirt. But thanks, guys. Keep the watch.
Willie, thanks so much for the call. Yeah.
I agree. And we just talked about this. It does feel like a missed opportunity if they don't address the Qui-Gon question at all. I expect at the very least, if Qui-Gon, if Liam Neeson's not in the show, he's at least going to be talked about. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
This is the opportunity to do that, to follow up on, to follow up on that thread from Revenge of the Sith, which we just did a commentary on the Patreon for, where Yoda says, "Training I have for you in exile." That's talking about Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon has figured out how to extend his life beyond death. That's a huge thing. And I feel like
it's a massive thing.
This is the opportunity to do that here in the show. So I still expect it, but I love his perspective too of like, even if we don't get it, probably going to enjoy the show anyway. You know, Darth Vader is going to be in it. Hayden Christensen's back as Darth Vader. We're going
to
see
getting
him
them two on the on screen at the same time again is going to be, you know, the whole show is going to be worth it. So
incredible. It's going to be incredible. It's just going to be, it's going to be a celebration of Star Wars. And I can't wait to experience that with everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good, good time.
Absolutely.
And just soak it in. Enjoy it. I know for me, I'm going to try to avoid nitpicking things or like even like in the moment, like connecting it to all nine Star Wars films. I want to kind of consume it for what it is and then do the work of how does it connect to everything after. Does that make sense?
Of course. Like, yeah.
I'm just so excited, and I can't wait to do the breakdown on Friday. It's going to be so much fun getting up early to watch Star Wars again. I mean, come on. That's so good.
Yep. And that is just right around the corner. So, everybody just stay tuned. Plenty more Children of the Watch coming your way very, very soon. Keep your eyes peeled on all the things. We're gonna go out on a new little outro thing today. Carpool Kids, my band, is gonna be releasing some new music. Our outro is usually Carpool Kids, so we'll leave you with a new little taste of what's to come. I'm pumped for Obi-Wan Kenobi. Friday cannot come soon enough.
I will say, if you are a listener to the show, please share this with your friends and families.
Yeah.
That is the best way to grow a podcast audience is by word of mouth. And so we could use your help just growing the podcast family. We want as many people to join in on the fun as possible. Yeah. And we're not going to talk over them. We'll explain it for you. Maybe you get annoyed at explaining everything to your mom and dad or your brother or sister or what have you, your best friends at work. We got you covered. We'll cover that for you. And then you guys can talk about it after the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Alrighty. Well, Obi-Wan Kenobi, soon enough. But until then, keep the watch.